Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Wednesday, June 1st, 2016. With me today, I have Kelly Gumond. How are you, Kelly?
I'm well, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing well, and thanks for being here. And John Martellaro, how are you?
I'm good. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, John.
I was giving you time to chat, but whatever.
I was waiting to see where that was going to go.
So. I wanted to see what Jeff was going to say.
No, see, I was being the polite host and not interrupting for once. Anyhow.
The judges would also have accepted Dr. Scott.
Janet.
Okay.
Brad. Dr. Scott. Anyhow, how about that first topic? So Amazon, we've been wondering what's really up with Amazon and why they're not selling Apple TVs. Because, you know, there was the thing where Amazon said, look, if a device doesn't have Amazon Prime Video support, then you're not going to be able to sell it on Amazon. So that meant Apple TV was gone, and the Google whatever stick thing was gone. And
Fire Stick.
No, isn't Fire Stick Amazon? Oh, Chromecast.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait.
Chromecast.
You're talking about Google. Never mind.
Right. Okay. So anyhow, those devices are gone from Amazon, and because they didn't have Amazon Prime Video support. Okay. Well, so we knew that. Then we end up with a customer service representative telling someone when they call in asking that that Amazon is working on their Amazon Prime app for Apple TV, and it should be out soon. And this was like all last summer, and nothing happens. And then Apple at some point says, hey, you know, look, we'd love to have an Amazon Prime app on Apple TV.
If only someone would submit it.
Right. And what we have now is Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos saying, look, the real reason we don't have an app on Apple TV is because Apple wants too much money.
Well, we think that's what he means. What he said was a whole bunch of other words that don't really say that. But we're pretty sure that's what's happening.
Yeah. And okay, so what he says is, when we sell those devices, we want our player, our Prime Video player, to be on the device, and we want it to be on the device with acceptable business terms. You can always get the player on the device. Question is, can you get it there with acceptable business terms?
What that means is that he doesn't really like, in my mind, he doesn't really like the idea that you have to go to Amazon directly and purchase videos that are not included in the Prime platform and then come back to your player and play them.
You mean like with every single other app that they have?
Yeah. That's something about that irritates them.
Why does it irritate them with this when they're okay doing that with every other app that they have?
Which includes Comixology now, by the way.
Yes, that's true. And by the way, the Comixology experience, I think, is now horrible. And I know a lot of people are like, yeah, whatever, it's fine. No, it's not. It's really difficult.
So here's the thing, is if you come to Comixology as only an Amazon customer before, then you're used to this hoop jumping and it's fine. In the olden days, if you were a Comixology customer before Comixology was an Amazon product, when you were done reading a comic, you know, you talk to Kelly or Jeff for about 5 minutes. One of us is inevitably going to recommend a comic book to you, and you decide to go read it. So you read the first issue and you go, wow, this was amazing. I can't wait to read the next issue. When you get to the end of the comic, it used to go, do you want the next one for however much money this is going to be? And then you would say, good heavens, yes. And you would just tap like, okay. And it would charge you. And then you would get the next comic. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic. It was terrifying. And it was awesome. So now that's not the case anymore. So for people who used to use Comixology before it was Amazon, we're like, this sucks. And everybody who came to it as an Amazon user is like, yeah, whatevs, because I've had to do this the whole time. So I think the larger issue here is that I think the issue here is the same issue that bounces everything outside of the Amazon app if you want to actually make a purchase, which is Apple's 30% cut. because if they were to allow in-app purchases in, if they were allow to, if they would allow you to buy things through their other apps, then Apple would get a chunk of that. And I think, given what little we actually do know about Amazon, which is that they are practically giving that stuff away for no profit, giving Apple 30% of that almost nothing is an untenable position for them. I think that's what they mean by acceptable business practices. I think it's Apple's cut.
You know, I'm sure Apple's cut is playing a part in this, but it's something that Amazon has been more than happy to work around with all their other apps. I mean, if let's say you want Kindle content. Mm-hmm. Okay, you have to leave the Kindle app and go to a web browser mm-hmm. and purchase your Kindle content and then go back to the Kindle app and download it.
Mm-hmm.
So why should this be any different? Now, I do get that part of the issue is that there is no web browser on Apple TV, so they can't kick you out to a web browser so that you can buy the content. They could, however, have something that, since this is all linked to your Amazon Prime account and mm-hmm. your Amazon Prime account is your phone number, why can't they do like a push notification or text message to your phone with the link so you can make the purchase?
You know, typically in my mind, when a company makes a decision like this, it's because they have something else brewing. And mm-hmm. in light of something else that's brewing behind the scenes, they don't want to take a misstep in the mm-hmm. wrong direction. Could be. I've also heard that Amazon is doing poorly compared to Netflix. And it could be, as Jeff said, that they don't want to give up that revenue.
Well, maybe if they put their Prime Video on another device, say like Apple TV.
Well, and here's yeah. I think here's another piece of that is that there's a fair amount of content on Amazon Prime Video, but most people, like, here's the thing that I think the unsuccessful is coming from is that they broke that out into its own subscription. So you don't have to be a Prime subscriber in order to subscribe to Prime Video. And it used to be that Prime Video was one of the things that you got as part of your Prime subscription.
It's not a very good deal, as I recall. It's better to just go with the whole ball of wax.
True, well, but for some people, expensive. Paying month to month is more palatable. Yeah. And so they're willing to pay a premium mm-hmm. to do that.
Right, or they have no need of the other stuff, you know, if they're not huge Amazon shoppers or whatever. So I think part of it could just be that, you know, Netflix was first. A lot of people have inertia and just continue to subscribe to Netflix because that's the one that they have. And I don't know how much Amazon has done to make inroads with Netflix subscribers, people who are willing to subscribe to a video service and maybe don't care which one. And I'm not entirely certain how much, because so far Amazon doesn't really have a house of cards.
I think you're right, Kelly. I think that people have inertia and they have to have plenty of extra money to say, I'm going to do both. Mm-hmm. It seems like an excess
or a good to reason a lot of to people. Switch.
By the way, I don't want to take us down a rabbit hole, but everybody should know that the Amazon Prime app on your iPad does have AirPlay built in, and you can throw the video over to your Apple TV.
Okay.
AirPlay.
And here's another thing that makes me wonder what is really up with Amazon not putting their video app on Apple TV, because it's already on the iPhone. It's already on the iPad. They mm-hmm. know how this system works. What is so different for them about Apple TV?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I really think it's the web browser, and I sort of want to give Amazon the benefit of the doubt in that they have yet to develop a good customer experience that makes this a very easy thing for people to do.
So, well, think about it. Think about the customer buying experience. So you put the app.
That's what I mean.
You put the app on the Apple TV that we mm-hmm. about the rumored one, and then you tell the customer that they have to go log on to
anywhere else,
yeah, and buy the app, and that's not right. a great experience. But if somebody's right. doing Amazon Prime on their iPad, it's all just right there.
Yeah,
no, it still bumps you out of the app.
Well, yeah, but you're still, it's convenient, more convenient than changing devices.
Yeah, because you don't have like an outside option for buying something on the app if you were to be on the Apple TV. So I want to think that that's what Amazon is up to, is that they just don't have a good customer experience for this yet. And as soon as they can develop that, then maybe we will see it on the Apple TV. I certainly hope so. I have no issue with AirPlay and bouncing the video off my iPad up to the Apple TV. I do it all the time. Sometimes it's Amazon Prime, sometimes it's not. But for me, anyway, at my house with my iPad and my router and my Apple TV and my television, I have a really reliable setup. It works really well. So I do it fairly often. And I want to believe that it's just because Amazon has said this is a terrible customer experience and we don't want to inflict this on people. In real life, there's probably something else going on here that has something to do with competition. And the thing to me that is so fascinating about this is that I know people who, like independent artists who sell music on Amazon, and Amazon takes half. If you're an indie person and an independent artist and you make a record and you sign up to sell your record on Amazon.com, whether it's hard copies or MP3s or anything else, Amazon takes 50% of that. So for Amazon to complain about anybody's acceptable business practices is a little entertaining to me.
I want to put a commercial break in here.
Okay.
I have been watching Amazon Prime and Netflix on my iPad Pro 12.9 inch. Mm-hmm. And with those speakers and that 13 inch screen, Amazon Prime Video and Netflix Video is just awesome in your lap. It is amazing. End of commercial.
All right. So John Martellaro totally endorses this.
Yeah. What do you know?
Yeah. Hey, listeners, I'm curious. What do you think? Do you have any theories or hypotheses on why Amazon is holding out from Apple TV and what exactly Jeff Bezos means? Let me know what you think, because I'm curious. You can shoot me messages on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily. You can shoot me emails. That would be observations@macobserver.com. And of course, you can leave comments in the show notes, because I'm going to check all those places. And I bet someone's going to have some really great ideas. So let me know. And as long as we're talking about commercials, I am totally going to promote myself. If you are going to be in Denver on June 8th, so that's next Wednesday, you need to come to Mac Tech Pro Denver, because I'm speaking. There's going to be a lot of really, really great speakers, and I will be there with them. And I'm going to be talking about home automation and the Internet of Things and smart home devices. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Mac Tech Pro is an event that is targeted towards Apple consultants and people that need to handle IT functions for their business. Although if you just want to learn a lot about what it takes to be a really sharp consultant, maybe you want to start your own business, totally come to this event, because these are great events. And they are loads of fun and so much information packed in. And you get to hang out with me. They feed us all lunch. We get to hang out together. We can kick back and talk, and it'll be a great time. So what I'm going to do, because I really want you guys to come, I'm going to include a special link in today's show notes that gets you $200 off the conference ticket. So it's regularly $4.99, and you'll be able to pick it up for $2.99. And it's going to be an incredibly fantastic day. So totally come. So that's Mac Tech Pro Denver. And here's a little secret. There's two other cities coming up. You can use my code and get a discount for those too. So if you can't make it to Denver, then you can still make it, and you can still get the discount. So Mac Tech Pro, next Wednesday, June 8th, come hang out with me. And the other thing that I wanted to hit today before we wrap up is the iPhone. And here's the deal. So we've been on this historic cycle with the iPhone, where every 2 years we get a major design refresh. Mm-hmm. And so we've had like the, I mean, we've seen this like the iPhone 3 line, the iPhone 4, the iPhone 5. Now we're up to the iPhone 6. And
we always called them the tracks. You'll hear people refer to this as the tick and the talk, or revolution and then evolution.
Or the regular and the S track.
The regular track and the S track, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what we're hearing now is a report that says Apple's actually switching that to a three-year cycle, and it starts this year. So the next phone, the one we've been referring to as iPhone 7 to come out most mm-hmm. likely in September, is not going to be a major redesign of the product like we saw when we went from iPhone 5S to iPhone 6. It's going to be more like the iPhone 6S, but with improved things. So, you know, so faster processor, better camera.
The 6SS. So the 6S
still. 6SWDC, which stands for we're the phone company. We don't have to care. That's my best Lily Tomlin imitation. I don't do her very well.
Well, you know what, John? I give you a blue ribbon for trying. Well done, sir.
Thanks.
Yeah, so it's looking like, assuming this report is accurate, and it's just a single source, so it hasn't been verified yet, that we're going to a three-year update cycle, and that it'll be next year when we have the 10th anniversary of the iPhone that we get a crazy radical redesign of the phone. And considering the rumors that we're hearing right now, which are primarily about that model, not the one that's coming up this September.
Mm-hmm. We're already hearing about the next one and the next one.
Right. So that's kind of an interesting thing. That tells me that there may very well be something behind this, and that we are, in fact, seeing a change. But now the question is it a change just for this one cycle? Because next year is the 10th anniversary, and they wanted to do something really big for that model. Or is Apple really moving to a consistent three-year cycle for iPhone updates?
A stutter step in the TikTok.
See, here would be my question about all of this, is that before we moved to a three-year cycle, you know, because the way it used to work was most people were on a subsidized contract. So you were chained to your mobile provider for 2 years as like a function of getting to update your phone. And so since you could only update every 2 years, if you had an iPhone 3G, you couldn't get a 3GS because it was only a year later. You had to wait until your contract was up. So in 2 years, then you could get an iPhone 4, and then you could get an iPhone 5, and then you could get an iPhone 6. And what happened, what we started to see with the 6, and more so with the 6S, is that now you can just make a monthly payment for your phone as part of your contract. It's unrelated to mm-hmm. whatever your contract is, which is a thing that used to irk me to no end, as Jeff remembers from in the olden days when I used to invite him to be a guest on my podcast.
Good times.
which was after the 2 years were up, your bill wasn't any cheaper, even though you were supposedly able to get a new phone because you weren't paying for it anymore, and yet your bill wasn't less. So now that they've broken that out into a separate line item, I'm curious how a 3 year cycle, when people are like sort of set up to pay for it for 2 years at a time, is going to affect all of those deals that people have started to make and that providers have started to move toward. It's very uncommon to see subsidized plans at most places anymore because they all want to get you on the pay $20 a month and then you can have a new phone whenever, you know, every 12 months or whatever.
Well, I think it's important to remember that this doesn't mean Apple is going to release a new iPhone once every 3 years. It means that the major design right. change will happen once every 3 years. And there's a lot of people that, regardless of what the features are, since they can just get a new phone every year now because of monthly payments, they'll just get the new phone because it's the latest and greatest and has whatever the cool new thing is. And then they'll be especially excited every third year when they get the really big upgrade.
Yeah, but the danger is the people this year will go, "May, I don't need a new phone this year."
Well, there's a lot of people that do that anyhow.
I think it'll be offset. It'll be a wash.
There are a lot of people who also, though, don't upgrade. You know, all of my parents are eligible for for phone upgrades, and none of them are interested in doing so because what they have does what they want. Mm-hmm. And even when they see the new features, you know, they see the stuff on the phone that I have, you know, it doesn't make my mom go, gosh, I need a new phone. And my dad doesn't go, wow, you know, my phone doesn't do that. I totally need to upgrade. So I think there's probably, and you know, if you look around, if you are out in the world, I'm sure that you will see people, and you may not be able to tell what phone it is, but I'm sure you can tell that it's got a 30-pin connector on the bottom.
Yeah, I saw someone yesterday on Pearl Street Mall, iPhone 4S.
Yeah.
Some of my readers have talked about how they or their wife or they have a 4S, and they say it's just fine. But I'll tell you, if you could read the list of security issues with these older phones and iOS 6 and 5, mm-hmm. you would shiver in your boots and you'd run right to the Apple store screaming and yelling, get me an iPhone 6S with iOS
9.3.2.
9.3.2 right now. If you could see that list, it's scary.
But there are also, and I understand that, and that is legitimate, but I think there are also a lot of people, you know, we see, again, this is one of those things where you have to sort of remember that we are not a representative sample of like anything, and except people who appear on Daily Observations. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of people who never install another app, like don't even know there's an app store on their phone. And all they need to do is call and text and they will read email. You know, maybe they've set up email, but they're using the system app. And so they don't care about any of that stuff. And if they're limiting their exposure by not having any of that middleman stuff, and they don't spend a bunch of time doing a lot of things in any of these other external applications, then that is helping keep them a little bit safer. And it's something that they probably won't, honestly, John, won't even notice, which I know is just hurting you. And that disturbance in the force is going to keep you up tonight. I guarantee it. But
I hope so.
I think there are a lot of people that just don't, they don't install a lot of stuff, or they don't spend a lot of time in a lot of insecure apps.
I put part of the blame on Apple, because every time you read the release notes, it says iOS 9.3.2 bug fixes and this and some sort of obscure improvement and this, the thing that kind of leaves you flat. And then another thing you say, well, I've never heard of that before. I don't need to upgrade. And then we go to the Apple list server and we look at the security updates and the CVEs and we say, oh my God, if only people could read that. But it's too big to put into the release notes for the average user. So what happens is people see the public changes that Apple pushes out and they say, no, I don't need to do an upgrade. I don't want to go back to the Department of Homeland Security, you know, color coding system. But Apple would, I think, do well to say something like, this is a serious security upgrade, or this is a modest security upgrade, or this is just simply bug improvements. You can wait till the next cycle, or something like that.
So, John, we're out of time. But what I have to say is that I think it's so cute how you think that the average smartphone user or phone user actually looks at the release notes at all, even the very terse, worthless release notes that Apple gives us.
Yeah.
People don't look at that. They have no idea.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe.
Bless your heart.
Hope springs eternal for me.
No, I understand. And I do appreciate your desire for people to be better educated. And I fully support this position.
I appreciate your optimism.
Yeah. But hey, we are out of time, so we have to wrap up. Kelly, thank you so much for being here.
Of course.
And John, thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
And listeners, thank you for joining us too. And be sure and check out the show notes, because I will have that link so you can get $200 off Mac Tech Pro. Come hang out with me. It'll be cool. And thanks everyone for being here. We'll see you again tomorrow.